ACCA, the world's most forward-thinking professional accountancy body.
Welcome to this podcast. The foundation of ACCA in 1904 was to create a professional body for accountancy professionals that was open to all. We take pride in being the first body to admit women members and other notable milestones in the profession's evolution. The value of inclusion remains at the core of everything we do. But one thing that the pandemic has taught us is the need to reappraise our values and our approaches. The rebuilding of our lives, our economies, and our profession can and should be done in ways that challenge our accepted norms. We should pause to think how we can do better. And it's an opportunity to reset that should not be missed. Diversity and inclusion collectively one key aspect of this, building towards a better society where all have the same range of opportunities available to them. And this podcast accompanies our report, Leading Inclusion, which looks at this agenda across the profession. My name is Clive Webb, and I'm the Head of Business Management in the Professional Insights team in ACCA. And I'm pleased today to be joined by my guest, Alan Johnson. Alan became IFAT President in November 2020, having previously served as Deputy President from 2018. Alan has held a variety of roles, including a number of Chief Financial Officer roles in Unilever businesses across Africa, Europe, and Latin America. And latterly, he's held non-executive director roles in various organizations, including being appointed to one in a FTSE 100 company in January this year. Alan, as always, a pleasure to talk to you.
Hello, Clive. Good to engage with you, and thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to have this conversation with you. It's really wonderful to be able to engage with ACCA. I'm a proud member of ACCA and have been for a number of decades. And I'm just delighted that I have the opportunity to talk about such an important topic for not only our profession, but society at large.
So, Alan, I guess probably the best place to start, but to some extent also the worst place to start. What does the terms diversity and inclusion mean to you?
Well, they mean a lot. But let me start with maybe perhaps diversity. And maybe the best way to answer the question is to say, what is it not? For me, it's not just about nationality or gender. It's much broader than that. For me, it's about different backgrounds, different educational experiences, different personal and professional experiences, how people engage differently in societies, how people see things from their own perspectives, from different perspectives. So it's a very broad topic. And I do believe, honestly, that, and we'll probably come back to that shortly, that you get the best outcomes when you really embrace diversity in all of its dimensions. In terms of inclusion, I think it's then about ensuring that everybody around the table, across the organization, has the opportunity to be heard. Because we all have different perspectives, we have different views, we have different experiences. And we should give everyone the opportunity to be heard and for them to hear other views, because that's the only way we learn and develop in society, in businesses, professionally, personally. So therefore, inclusion for me is about getting everybody into the same conversation, irrespective of where they come from or what experiences they have. I think equity is really simply about fairness. It's about making sure that everybody has the same opportunity. I know that some people try to define equity differently to equality, but for me, it is about ensuring that the opportunity is there for all. And you know, I in your introduction, you actually talked about all the three words, diversity, inclusion, and equity, when you said in 1904, ACCA was set up to ensure everybody who had the ability was able to become a professionally qualified accountant. And that's exactly what you were doing in 1904. You were being diverse, you were being inclusive, and you were being equitable.
So we tend perhaps to think of it as a something that an HR community or somebody else leads in organizations. Why should members of this profession embrace this, act as change agents, act as agents for good? What should really be driving us?
Well, let me start and speaking specifically about our profession. We are a global profession. We have over 3 million professionally qualified accountants and many millions more of aspiring professional accountants. We work right across society. We work and support large and small businesses, the public sector, and other non-governmental organizations around the world. And at the core of our profession is acting in the public interest. And therefore, that means operating with integrity and to the highest standards of ethics, in line with the code that binds us, which is the code of ethics for professional accountants. So for me, we talked about diversity, inclusion, and equity. So if we are to operate to the highest standard of integrity, then by definition, we have to then be broad in terms of our diversity credentials. We need to be inclusive and we need to be equitable. So I think it's at the center and at the heart of what our profession stands for. Secondly, I would say that, and there are other professions, I would say, that are similar, but we are a people-centered profession. People at the heart of our organizations. So it is so obvious, therefore, I believe, that we need to ensure that we have diverse and inclusive teams that respect everyone's views, because that is at the heart of what our profession is about. So it's very important. It matters, because if we don't address these challenges, and they do differ around the world, some parts of the world are better at it than others, but we want to make sure everybody's at the same level, we won't actually be able to ensure that our profession remains the profession of choice for the next generation. Because when you look around society today, you look at the next generation, and I think about my daughter, her friends, they see things very differently to the way I saw them 30, 40 years ago. And they will only want to associate themselves with professions and organizations that are diverse, that are inclusive, and are equitable. So I think the case is very simply this: if we do not address this, we will not attract the next generation to come to work for us. And as I've said, as we're a people-centered profession, that will do harm to the sustainability of our profession, and therefore how we address and deliver our public interest mandate will be affected.
And that sense of bringing people into the profession, and I entirely agree that the different generational perspectives of this, how do the current members of the profession do the right thing to bring people in from a variety of backgrounds, etc., to continue to make the pressure attractive? Are there some tips or hints that you could recommend to people listening to this podcast, the things they can do?
Yes, first of all, let's start with leadership, because as we know, leaders have to sort of set the tone and lead by example. So I would say that as a profession, we just don't need to talk about DE&I, we actually have to do something about it. And therefore, getting organizations, the professional accounting organizations such as ACCA, ensuring that what people see in its leadership, they see diversity, they see inclusion, and they see equity in practice. So first of all, it's about leadership. But it's more than that, because, you know, leaders should, you know, demand the organizations embrace it, but by just demanding it doesn't in itself actually do it. So, you know, how we choose people, how we select them, how we appoint them, That's how we're going to be judged. The other thing I would say is, as professional accountants, we also need to demand of ourselves that we become intolerant of a lack of diversity, a lack of inclusion, and a lack of equity in organizations in which we work. We should not accept the status quo, but nor should we say, well, you know, it's for somebody else to deal with or somebody else to worry about. A lot of the time people say, well, you know, we got a human resources function, so that's what they're going to do. No. That's not how it works. They can't do it on their own. Everybody's got to be involved in making sure that they have the appropriate levels of inclusion, equity, and diversity around the organization. And we, as I said, I use the word intolerant. We need to become much more intolerant of the behaviors which prevent organizations to become much more diverse, much more inclusive, and much more equitable. So it's about leadership, but it's about everybody else. It's about doing the right thing. It's about being intolerant. It's about setting clear objectives, sometimes even targets. I know, you know, there are lots of arguments about we shouldn't have targets and things, but actually, quite honestly, if you look around the world, those parts of the world that have actually done best is where they have actually set targets and held organizations to deliver against those targets. We shouldn't just be blind to targets, because otherwise you will actually have the reverse effect where you just appoint to hit a target, but actually you've not really fully embraced and lived diversity in its fullest meaning, or equality, or inclusion. So it's not just about setting targets and then people just, you know, making appointments on the basis that they can tick a box and say targets have been met. It's got to be felt. It's got to become part of the DNA. It's actually, I'm hoping that, you know, going forward, DE&I just becomes natural. We don't even have to talk about it anymore or make special cases for why it's important. We're not there yet, and we need to get there quickly. And that's part of our professional challenge, to make sure we lead by example and hold ourselves accountable and hold others accountable to live these values. Make sure they're very clear and measure that we are moving forward in the right direction. So, you know, I heard somebody say about a year ago, what you treasure, you measure. So if you really do treasure diversity, equity, and inclusion, then we should start to measure that we're getting there, set out a roadmap, set some targets if necessary, and then hold ourselves accountable for delivery, as we would in any other part of our organization in terms of business performance, business targets, and other objectives.
That comment of treasure what you measure, and the sense that as finance professionals, whatever part of the profession you're in, increasingly we are involved in non-financial disclosures, we're involved in stakeholder management that is beyond the traditional financial objective. This is an important part of what we do, but also linking back to your comments earlier on about, it's also about looking at decision-making and our role as connectors across organizations to actually support diverse decision-making to reflect the needs of the customers. It all just creates this wonderful, I think, business case for why we should all really think about this through a refined lens, if I use that phrase.
I agree. And as you said, I mean, at the core of our profession is measurement. We know how to do it. Performance management, we know how to manage it. We know how to report it. We know how to hold organizations to account. So for me, this is really part of a broader topic around governance in organizations. D&I is part of the governance of enterprises, organizations, be they for profit, public sector, not for profit, or whatever. And, you know, as professional accountants, our role is to really ensure that appropriate targets are set, that we know that we are delivering against them appropriately, ethically, and holding up the mirror to the organization when we're falling short. That's what we do best. And that's why our profession is pushing very hard to make sure that we have, I know it's moving slightly off the subject of DE&I, but I do believe, as I said, it's part of governance. You know, when we look about sustainability reporting and sustainability measures, we really do believe that we need international standards that organizations can report against, so there's a consistent understanding of where we are on the journey to sustainability. So D&I is very much part of sustainability, because as I said earlier, our profession will not be sustainable if we can't attract future generations to want to become professional accountants. And we won't attract the future generations to want to join our wonderful profession if we are not demonstrating the values that they expect to want to see and work in.
And I think that link between the natural and the human capitals increasingly, as you said, becomes ever stronger, and particularly as we build back from the events of the last 12 months, the pandemic we've all lived through. How do you see the impact of the pandemic on this agenda from the lens of the profession?
Yes, well, I mean, sadly, it's taken almost 2.7 million deaths around the world since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. I think the number has now just turned 2.7 million in the last 24 hours. Sadly, it's taken that for us to realize that in society at large, inequity exists. And in fact, if anything, even pre-pandemic, it was not. The gap in equality or inequality was actually increasing rather than reducing. That's a sad fact, and we can't deny that. But it has taken the pandemic to shine the light on this and make us realize that now we need to do something about it. And it is also a sad fact that those people that have not had access to good health, good education, access to well-paid jobs, have suffered much more from this pandemic. So I think the call to action, which was already there, but maybe insufficient numbers of people were making those calls, is now even greater. The need is even greater. And the good thing, if there's any good that's going to come out of this, is that the awareness of the inequity in society, wherever you go, is now so much higher, greater than it ever was in terms of awareness, that I think there is a determined effort to do something about it. And it'll take time, but you won't do anything about it if you don't start. So therefore, the sheer fact that you and I are having this conversation today is a demonstration of how important the topic is. It's a demonstration of how important ACCA takes this. And it's also, I hope, a demonstration of how the global profession, which I have the privilege of leading at the moment, is taking it too. The fact that it's on the agendas of the big organizations, the public sector, the professions around the world, means, I hope and believe and trust, that this time round, we will be able to address it. People talk about building back better. Well, three simple B words, I hope they mean a lot more, and that we can do it on a sustainable basis, on a basis which will mean that we don't have to keep talking about this when we have the next pandemic, that it will be institutionalized, how we take decisions, how we address issues, how we engage with people, that it will just be part and parcel of our natural way of doing things, rather than taking specific actions to address the issue, which is what clearly we're doing now. So you're absolutely right. The impact of the pandemic has been huge, not just in human lives, but also in creating even greater inequity in society, and we must all be determined that we do the three B words, build back better, but that it's lasting, that it's not just building back better for the next 12 or 18 months or 2 years, and then we revert to what we did before, and then the inequity gap opens up again. This has to be lasting, it has to be meaningful, and it has to be part and parcel, as I said, of how society works every day.
Alan, thank you. That's a wonderful note to leave us on. And thank you very much for your thoughts today. We hope that you found this podcast useful. If you want to read the full report or access any of the abstracts, then please visit either the ACCA website or download the ACCA Professional Insights app. So, Alan, thank you very much for joining us for this. And to everybody listening, thank you very much and goodbye.
Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by ACCA. Find out how we think ahead at accaglobal.com.